Welcome to Israel. Why is the Middle East important? We Christians are the Notzrim, according to most Jews today. We are the watchers on the wall. Our purpose as members of the Commonwealth of Israel is to serve and protect God's people. After the formation of the world, God enacted a plan, and that plan began in the Middle East at the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And that plan concludes in that same place. The context of the entirety of God's plan begins and completes in and with Israel. There is no denying that, nor refuting it, if you are a Jew or a Christian, and the anthropological evidence verifies it. For the purposes of this podcast, Israel is both a nation and a people. Welcome back, friends, fellow Notzrim. It's so glad to have you with us today on Israel. Why is the Middle East important? Neil and I are here, and we are going to have a great discussion today regarding the present day in Israel. And we're also going to talk about the importance and the effect that walking has relative to your understanding of the importance of Israel and what Jews are doing now and have done in the past relative to walking and why it's important, so you can understand the current events in the light that is shed by past ancient events that are also equally important now. Nothing has changed. Everything is the same. There is nothing new under the sun. We've been talking about that for a long time, and God is working his plan, and he is not stopping. He is advancing his plan, his way, and he's using Israel to do it. So I was thinking the other day about why it's important to support Israel even when you don't want to. And we're going to have a brief discussion about that, and then we're going to go into our what we just talked about. But the current issue that we're talking about right now is why it's important to support Israel. And I struggle with this sometimes too, and I've struggled with it over the years. But if we don't support Israel, it's a bad thing for the world, for the end of time, and how things end up. It's important for we Notzrim, we Christians, to support Israel in good times and in bad. And so Neil and I are going to have a conversation about that right now. So Neil, I want your take. Let's just begin a discussion, because there's lots to say about this. And rather than just me rant, let's talk about this, about why it's important to support Israel.
Right. So, I think the number one thing that we have to remember or attempt to do is certainly as non-Jewish members of the Commonwealth of Israel, as you've said many, many times, and
that.
As the Bible
says. You said that
says,
really well. That's good.
Is we have to strive not to overlay man's understanding on God.
Ooh.
In
ooh,
other words,
wow.
God said certain things, and he said we non-Jewish members of the Commonwealth,
yes,
are also obligated to do certain things in response to that, and that goes against our nature, as you said. I don't always want to. Well, I hate to put it quite this way, but who cares what I think? Nobody cares,
right,
except me.
Right,
I care.
Right.
And our conclusions are often at odds with God's understanding, God's plan.
You mean our general conclusion, man's conclusion.
Man's conclusion, our conclusion, my preferences, my biases, what I would prefer.
Mm-hmm.
As we've kidded many times, Jeff, and many people have said this, if I were God, things would be different.
Yeah.
Right? And all I can say is, thank God I'm not God.
Thank God I'm not God. Right. Yes. Amen. Amen. So this idea of good times and in bad, when things aren't going well for Israel, when they're making a mistake, for example, it's like, well, I wish they hadn't done that. So I'll give you an example from my own situation. The settlements in the Judea-Samaria region, otherwise known as the West Bank, the continuous the settlements are perceived by the world and by people in that general area as a threat to them, right? And so it doesn't seem to be doing Israel any good to do that. It doesn't seem to be helping them in their status in the world. It doesn't seem to be working for them the way, I don't know, they intended. But I still support Israel, right, even though I don't agree necessarily with how they're doing that.
Right. And once again, that is, as I always say, my pay grade is far lower than that. I don't get to comment on what happens when or why.
Yeah.
That does not mean that we always have to cheer and stand up and shout that Israel does this or that.
Yeah.
But we also don't protest. We are Notzrim. We are watchmen. We are part of the Commonwealth, and our job function, if we are believers, as it were, we're not provers, we're not all knowledgeable, we are believers.
And it's some, what you just triggered a great thought. So in Ephesians, it uses the word household of God, household, oikos, household of God. And that makes us a family, right? The people that are in God's household are His family, and everybody talks about God as the family, and we're the Christians, we're the family, but so are the Jews, and we're part of that family. Actually, in fact, we're part of the Judeo family. We're grafted in, we're adopted. We're invited in, full rights of a son, but we are adopted into that Jewish family, into that Israeli family. And one does not speak ill of one's family.
Right. And God, where we have to always readjust our thinking is God has a plan. He has an outcome.
Yeah.
And we must be part of that plan, that outcome. And the outcome is Israel will survive, one.
Right.
Israel, in spite of humans being involved or at the helm, that's above my pay grade, Israel will achieve what God promised they would achieve.
Yes.
And often it's really difficult for us with our understanding to watch the news, watch a narrative, listen to a narrative, whatever, and come to an accurate conclusion.
Yeah.
That is the battle, that is the tug that all of us as Notzrim, as believers, are faced with, is how do I hear what I could come to a conclusion as this is wrong, and yet I have to somehow harmonize that with, but God is in control. God will do whatever He will do.
Yeah.
Not that I put my head in the sand or throw my hands
up.
That's
so good. That's good.
But that is the battle that we face.
Yeah, that is the battle that we face. And putting our faith first in God and saying, okay, I don't like what's happening right now, but there might be a reason for it I'm not aware of. It might be a little bit above my pay grade for me to even understand that at this point. At some point in the future, it may all be made perfectly clear to everyone.
Yes, well, we're promised that at some point in the future, I guess that's when Messiah reigns and rules and he explains things to us, and all things become clear.
Yeah.
Right now, we are in very big danger of, as you said, I will reach my conclusion and I don't like this. And we have to try to keep our focus, as we always say, where is your focus? What am I focused on?
Yes.
And is God, in spite of what I don't like, redeeming, reclaiming, repossessing the land for the promises
it
that he made
happen,
to the
right?
patriarchs?
It's part of the prophecy that they return and that the land is made whole again.
Correct.
And so as we see these current events of what's going on, keeping that in mind is critical. But we said something about this, actually we said it a number of times, and I think it's worth repeating as a kind of an end note to this segment. The goal of those who oppose Israel is the elimination of Israel, not just win a war.
Correct.
It's eradication. That's the goal.
Right.
Okay, and when there's no Israel, Neil, God's plan can't succeed.
Correct. Right.
It cannot succeed.
Yeah, that is what we're facing at the crux, is As God said, the people who oppose his plan, which you just said, we as Christians are in danger of if we reach wrong conclusions. They are against God because God has a plan. And we are going now into this next segment, as you said, and we will discuss more about.
Yes, we will.
And now they're turning from Gaza, which is synonymous with the Philistines.
Yes,
as a matter of fact, even the Arabs there claim they are the Philistines. So when God refers to them in scriptural references, specifically Psalm 83, as we've talked about. He there specifically says Gaza or the Philistines with Lebanon, not and or anything like this. He says they're with them. And we see that today in our day as we transition to that, that they are going up now to the Lebanon. By the way, Israel doesn't want this war. They don't want this bloodshed.
No, they didn't ask. No, exactly.
They want to, as the Bible says, lean on the staff of Egypt. They want the world's acceptance, but God says no. You are a people apart.
Yes,
you will be different.
Yes,
and it is our job as again Christians to say, wait, God, I am not putting my head in the sand. I would do it different, but your will be done. That was the Lord's prayer. Your will be done on earth, not Neil's, not Jeff's, not anybody else. Christians, not the favorite prophet on, you know, TBN or whatever. Your will be done. And that's what we see now going on as they finish up Gaza war. They're heading up into Lebanon.
Into Lebanon. Okay. So that brings us to this this next segment on this idea of walking the land as a way of claiming it or reclaiming it or restoring. I was just thinking about when a person buys a piece of property, a field, a lot, they're going to build a house, whatever. They go and they visit it.
Right.
And you know what they do? They walk around on it.
Right.
That's what they do.
Right.
And by walking around on it, they are claiming it for themselves, even though they legally own it. Right? They're claiming it as mine. This is my land.
Yeah.
This is my land. And when God spoke to Abraham, I'm sorry, is it? Yeah, it was Abraham. He said, go in to the place I will show you. We did shows on this. It's all in there. You can listen to it, folks. It's great stuff. Go to the place where I show you. And he said, look, and he gave him instructions to look this way and this way and this way and this way. And all that you see, everywhere your foot touches is your land.
Right, that you will. He told him that while he's giving it to him, which doesn't make sense, Abraham was still instructed, as was Moses, as was Joshua, as other places, even in the New Testament, it references this idea, this concept of you have to, I'm giving it to you, Jeff, but I require you to do something, which in this case is this walking, this reclaiming, this believing my promise, speaking for God, my promise to you, Israel, but you have to walk it. And as he told Abraham, you walk the length, the breadth of this land.
Yes.
As far as you see, it is yours, but you have to walk it.
You have to walk it. Now, in the present day, something is happening that we want to discuss, which is evidence for this. So Jews read the Tanakh exclusively. They're reading all the time about Genesis and Abraham, and they get it, especially the really religious Jews, the Hasidic Jews, etc. They really get it. The Orthodox really get it. And some of them, a significant number of them, have begun to revisit the Temple Mount.
Right. That's very important that many believers don't understand this idea of this relatively new phenomenon of Jews of all persuasions saying, as opposed to in years past, do not go up on the Temple Mount for fear you will defile it or you will bring some defilement up on there with you. Instead, there are many factors, many corners encouraging Jewish walking on the Temple Mount and Jews walking on the Temple Mount. And there's been this astronomical spike in the sheer number of Jews who are walking on the Temple Mount. And that's significant, Jeff, because that tells us it's not just walking in an area.
Right.
And they're claiming it. They're claiming, in effect, all of God's promises by walking on his holy sanctuary,
wow,
his holy mount. So
say some more about that. They're walking, when they claim that piece of land, when
right,
they claim that piece of land by walking on it, they're claiming all of it. Talk about that.
Well, and many of them do not know precisely
right,
what they're
right,
doing.
They don't exactly know, but they know they have to go do it.
Right.
Right.
It is no different than many Christians today. We don't know a great many things yet. Just like in the early church, you say, well, they were with Jesus and they
mm-hmm,
didn't understand.
Yes.
We've talked about this, the two disciples on Emmaus.
Yes.
And
yeah.
And Peter saying, "Oh Lord, don't say such things about his crucifixion."
Mm.
This was all God's plan. This
yeah,
is above their pay grade.
They didn't understand.
They didn't understand.
That's right.
Only
yeah,
in hindsight.
Yeah.
Now we do that
yeah,
today too with a great many things. When will the Lord return?
Mm.
I don't know. Well, it says specifically in Scripture when.
Yeah.
We just don't know it today. So in the same way, if you can accept that and understand that, many Jews, while they're walking the land, it has nothing to do with their mental faculties of comprehension,
yes,
necessarily.
Right.
Just the fact that they are
yes,
is powerful and is reclaiming that Temple Mount area.
It's indicative also of that God is moving and God is reclaiming his land, and he's using the Jews to do that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And he's using the Jews and for our and it's all about Israel, by
right,
the way.
Right.
It's all about Israel for our benefit.
Yes.
Now, who would have thought, as we go into this, Jeff, that it would have required this catastrophe, this
isn't it
horrible,
something? Isn't it something that
warfare that nobody wants it?
Nobody wanted it.
Nobody wants it. Certainly, Israel doesn't
yeah,
want it.
Yeah.
They, as a matter of fact, they talk about putting your head in the sand. They had their heads in the sand, if you will, and they were completely caught off guard again,
mm-hmm,
and seemingly again. This is indicative of previous wars where these upheavals flared up.
Yeah.
The Jews now pretty much have finished up in Gaza Strip, the Philistines, as it were, and they are again, as we said, headed up to Hezbollah up the north in Lebanon, of which the Bible talks about many times the Lebanon, or today's geographical spot that we've surveyed called Lebanon, the country, that is part of the land given to the Israelites by God.
Yeah.
So we
yeah,
see that
yeah,
nobody wants it. That
yeah,
again, they're leaning on the staff of Egypt. They're pulled.
Yeah. Right.
But God's going to do it irregardless. But who would have ever imagined it will be through warfare?
Who would ever imagine?
Nobody yeah, wanted that. Everybody wanted, well, maybe there'll be a peace, maybe there'll be
yeah,
an accord,
yeah,
maybe there'll be a two-state solution, whatever the thing
but
is.
And that's exactly how they got Jerusalem back, through a war.
Through a desperate war, and now today they face the same thing, a desperate war. They finished up miraculously in Gaza. Nobody thought it would go this quick or
right,
this way.
Yes.
Certainly Hamas didn't. They still
no,
think they won.
They thought they had it figured out.
They did. And now we're heading up into Hezbollah, which, as we've said before, Jeff, if you saw the pushback with Gaza, wait till they go up into Lebanon and start taking
yeah,
that territory.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, when the smoke clears, as it were,
yeah,
warfare language, when the smoke clears, Israel's going to have all this territory, and there will be nobody to give it back to.
Wow. That's powerful. Okay, so let's move now to this idea, because we're demonstrating this idea of the land and how walking is a reclamation of it and a keeping of it. So, the Lebanon, you call it, the Lebanon, right? I was thinking also of the West Bank, or the Judeo-Samarian region, as it's properly called. You said the other day, 60% of what happens in the Old Testament, 60%, happened in Judea, Samaria, or the West Bank area.
Right, and some people actually say it's more than 60.
That's
some people
amazing,
use 70%.
That's okay, good, that's great. So let's call it 65 and split the difference.
Yeah.
But folks, Christians, Notes Ream, listen. Listen. How can you be against the West Bank or the Judea-Samaria area when 60% of what God did happened in that region?
Well, that encompasses all the area of Shechem, Bethel, Shiloh, all these very famous all these very famous places, mm-hmm. well familiar with mm-hmm. a number of Christians, the names. This all occurred in that very area that the Jordanians renamed West Bank.
The Jordanians,
we are going to do our best not to refer to that as such anymore. We're going to call it what it biblically is called, which is Judea and Samaria, or in today's vernacular in Hebrew is just called Shomron.
But Shomron,
Judea, Samaria.
Okay, Shomron. Excellent. All right. So I just wanted to put that in there because, Notstream, we need to be aware. If we're politically, geopolitically thinking, if we're thinking geopolitically, wrong. Wrong. Think biblically. Think biblically, Christians. Think biblically, Notstream. That's where the truth really is. If you get lost in the geopolitical discussion of it, you're walking down a rat hole. There's nothing in there. It's an empty well. Please do not do it. Engage it biblically, and you will win because you're right. That's the important thing. So, Neil, the Lebanon. So, Tyre and Sidon, thank you, and Sidon, are two places that are in, these are in the Bible, right? And they are Lebanon, right?
Well, they are in the Bible, and they're also very much in the New Testament, where, first of all, we have to understand that this idea of warfare and Lebanon and where we're headed next, Jesus very specifically in the Olivet Discourse said, there will be wars, you'll hear of these wars, mm-hmm. there's going to be all this upheaval. Mm-hmm. These are the beginning. So it shouldn't surprise us, but it does, because we're humans, we don't like war, but it's coming. And Jesus in the New Testament, after he did this miraculous healing in what today we could say geographically is Israel. You know, if we look at a map, some percentage of our audience would say, I recognize that as Israel, but the promise of the land is much, mm-hmm. much larger mm-hmm. than the boundaries that we today say that's Israel, or we recognize as Israel.
Yes.
But Jesus went up into the region of Tyre and Sidon, and that's where he met the Syrophoenician woman, the non-Jewish woman, and healed her.
And in Mark's gospel, which is where you're referring to, correct? Is it Mark's gospel?
I think it's in more than one gospel
where
it talks about either, but Mark specifically talks of the Syrophoenician.
And where does it say he was when he went, before he went to Tyre and Sidon?
Right. He was in what we today would call the Sea of Galilee in Gennesaret.
Gennesaret.
And there he also healed, did a great healing, and he... seemingly in Mark's gospel, he immediately went up into Tyre and Sidon, which begs the question, why would he do that? We've kidded before, Jeff. Was he just taking a couple days off?
Because
he knew
days.
He had 20
Retreat.
Years.
Yeah.
Was he just doing what our Australian friends call just a walkabout?
A walkabout.
He just thought, why not? Why not go up here? And there he met this woman. And again, you have to say, what was the purpose of that?
And that's what we're going to talk about. But I just want the folks to know that if you look at a map and find Gennesaret on the Sea of Galilee and look at where Tyre is in Lebanon, it ain't no stroll, as it were. It's a good way. It's a couple of days of travel on foot, because they didn't, you know, not very many had wheels in those days, on foot to get to Tyre to meet the Phoenician...
The Syrophoenician woman, or others call her the Canaanite woman, because she was from that region of Cana.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you're right, it was at least a day's walk, at least a day's.
In
other words, you don't just say, Jeff, I got nothing to do.
Right.
You want to go for a little walk with me? For no purpose, no reason. It's just we're going to lay on the beach, right?
So Jesus goes there, and he's walking the land.
and he walks the land.
Yes.
It says he walks throughout the region, of of Sidon and Tyre.
Uh-huh.
He walks that region. That again is many places called Lebanon or the Lebanon.
Yeah.
And that again is the idea of Jesus reclaimed that area.
Yeah.
And he did it by walking in that area.
Yeah.
And today we see nightly, right from the battlefield, as it were, the images of the warfare where Hezbollah, the Lebanese today, are going to fight Israel. Israel doesn't want to.
Right.
First of all, they think they can't. How can we defeat them? How can we do this?
Right.
So we're going to see amazing pushback when we see this reclaiming, as it were. But for some reason, this is God's plan, and Jesus did the exact same thing. He walked, reclaimed, as it were, that territory.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, yeah, we folks, we need to grasp this, and this just is another example that God is doing something. Perhaps we think could be, it looks like it. God is doing something by directing the Jews to Lebanon, to. And the fact that Hezbollah, which means God's party, I believe, politically, it means Hezbollah, which is God's party. So that's a really cool, I mean, amazing, not cool, but amazing truth, okay? That Israel is now headed that direction, and they can't not do it. They can't not do it. They must. They're compelled, because of situations, they're compelled to go and reclaim that, even though they don't really want to.
They don't want to.
Because it's going to be more difficult for them.
Much more difficult, and much more potential bloodshed, at the least. A much more powerful army than Hamas was. And we already see the pushback with Hamas. So get ready, folks, for the pushback we're going to see with Hezbollah. And at the core of all of this, which we've also taught on and we'll do some more, is the puppet master in Tehran, in Iran, telling Hezbollah, now is the time, now you go in. And Hezbollah is a powerful, powerful adversary that Israel's faced.
Yes.
And Israel has, as you said, no choice.
Those guys are not rookies.
Right.
Hezbollah. They are not rookie soldiers. They are well-trained, well-equipped.
Very well-equipped.
It's not going to be an easy thing to do.
Very, very well-equipped. They have so much funds that they have siphoned off into armaments, just like Hamas did. They got so much money from the U.S., U.N., as we always say, the EU, so much money. The only thing that keeps all of this from coming to fruition the way that UN and the EU and the US would like to see it is this very annoying small group of people called Israel. They just keep messing up the works.
Yeah,
if they would go away.
If they would just go away.
Now, you realize, Jeff, because you see my face, I'm trying to say this as sarcastically as I can, but that is what we are faced with. It is the reality of there is Israel. And it's not, like you said at the beginning of this, the way you would have done it necessarily, but we're going to war, and we are reclaiming, just as Jesus, as God told Abraham, just as Jesus then did when he manifested, he walked in that region.
Yes, he did.
That is a part of the promise of Israel.
The promised land. It's part of the promised land. And Israel is not consciously trying to reclaim it.
Well, they don't want to reclaim it because now you get into a bit of prophecy, as you asked me before, and many people have asked me, what do you think, what's going to happen next, so on, and I've always said, if the past is any indicator of the future, what will happen is what's always happened, that is, Israel wins.
Yeah.
In spite of themselves. In spite of themselves, they win.
Some way, somehow,
because
they win.
Right. And for us believers, we believe it's because God said, for my name, because of me, I will see you through it. So we want to be careful not to be too against Israel.
That's right.
But the fact of the matter is, they will win. They don't want to go there.
Nope.
Then, if they win, Jeff, they have to administer that area. How in the world? They don't have enough boots on the ground, as they say. There's not enough people. There's not enough Israelites to administer these lands, and there is nobody to give them back to.
So 4.5 or 5 million of all the Jews in the world live in Israel, right? 4.5 or 5 million. There's 15 million in the world. So we should probably begin to look for an aliyah.
Well, I think there will be an aliyah, Jeff. But again, now I'm going out on the limb here as my... more than the Bible, but my assumption, and my assumption is there will be aliyah, forced aliyah, because, you know, it does talk about in Jeremiah, first I'll send the fishers for you, then the hunters, and that always sounds ominous to a great many people, not just me, but right. to a great many people.
Right.
And we see right. that today, in spite of the horribleness of what's happening in Israel, many, many Jews from yes. around the world are saying it's better there than here, wherever they are on the globe, which again is a thing of walking. I mean, in other words, the Jews were dispersed into all the earth. What were they doing when they were dispersed? Well, they were walking over the land.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that has to do with the promise of God yeah. about restoring all of us,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But specifically to Israel, people are going back to the land. And I believe, Jeff,
mm-hmm.
that certain Gentile, non-Jews, Notzrim will also go to the land. Physically.
I think we're talking about the prophet Zechariah here. I forget the exact chapter, but it said, On that day, 10 Gentiles will cling to the hem, the tzitzit, right? The hem of a Jew's garment, and say, take me with you to Israel, for God is with you.
Right. That's exactly right. The prophet does say that, and he specifically talks about going up into Zechariah, that is, specifically talks about going up into Lebanon as well. So we see all of this happening in our day. Not the way I would have done it,
right.
we keep saying. Not my preference.
I didn't know it was going to be like that.
Right, exactly. And yet the scriptures are clear that
yeah.
that is it, but it's only
yeah.
in hindsight do
That's
we get
right.
to have this aha moment.
This aha moment. Wow. Wow. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's not incredible. It's credible because we read the Bible and we see it. But it's seemingly incredible, right?
Right.
It seems like, how could this possibly be?
Right.
Well, because God does not do things our way.
Right.
God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So if we're not attentive, as you know, you and I try to be, pay attention.
Right.
To what's going on, not what you want to happen, not what you think should happen, not what the geopoliticalists tell you will happen. Watch what's actually happening.
Right, right. And so we're faced with all this in our day, and we're faced with coming to some conclusions, and one of the conclusions you have to have, or ask yourself at least, is, as we said, did Jesus, which is our standard, which is the Christian barometer by which we measure all things.
Yes.
Was it just happenstance he went to Lebanon? Was it just happenstance he healed a non-Jewish woman in Lebanon? Was it just happenstance
yeah.
that
yeah.
the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures and New Testament, talk about the land of Lebanon being part of the land of Israel? It's
yep.
going to be part of it.
Yep.
We're not talking about where Israel will have suzerainty over land. They
mm-hmm.
they do things because they're so powerful. We're talking actual land of Israel. And you have to ask yourself, okay, is it credible that the first miracle, and many people say the first miracle of the water into wine at Cana occurred in Lebanon, is it also credible that Jesus then, while walking, immediately went from that region over to directly west
yeah.
Or east, directly east of that region, and at the foot of Mount Hermon, inaugurated his whole Gates of Hell reference, which references the Old Testament scripture,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in conjunction with saying he's going to inaugurate his church?
Wow.
His new thing. Was that just coincidental? It just
yeah.
so happened.
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
Right. And so you have to ask yourself, is that just coincidental?
Yeah.
Or was there some meaning to it? And it is our job as Notzrim, as you say,
yeah.
to try to parse this out, to
yes.
say, wait a minute, the scripture just runs right over that. If you're not looking for it, we just miss it and say, okay, so we healed the Syrophoenician, of course, blah, blah, blah. And then he came back, and I can picture in my mind Lebanon and Israel and Lebanon is not Israel. And what are they doing there? And I can come to a wrong conclusion. But if you read the promises to the patriarchs, that region was promised as part of the land of Israel.
Yep.
And we see Iran telling their proxies that are inhabiting that land today,
yes,
fight Israel,
mm-hmm,
ramp it up, go to war with them,
mm-hmm,
and we see Israel does not want to, and they will ultimately win this war.
They are compelled. They are compelled to do it. They can't not do it. They must do it. And it just so happens, as you say, Neil, coincidentally, that this land is part of the promised land that God said you will have. And we know that Jews reclaiming the promised land is essential to Messiah's coming.
Right.
It's essential. It's one of the things that must happen, right? So that will happen, not must happen. It will happen. And it's interesting that we're observing it, and it's right before our eyes. And it's not happening the way we thought it would, right? It's happening differently. But when Jesus said, as you said at the beginning, there will be wars and rumors of wars, okay, it appears there's something. It's not just a war statement. The wars are actually being used to reclaim.
To reclaim, unfortunately, because we're humans. We don't just say, well, let God be God and I will go to the right or I will go to the left or whatever. It takes these terrible confrontations,
mm-hmm,
for non-believers and believers, mm-hmm, to adjust our thinking. And we are seeing that whole warfare, the idea of warfare, come about for God's purpose. And that is, I will restore the land of Israel to Israel. And as we talked about before, whether it's the Jews going up on the Temple Mount, mm-hmm, walking on it, that is a precursor, if you will, to what we're seeing with this war with Hezbollah. In other words, they're entirely connected, where the Jews are reclaiming the promises by going up on the specific spot on the globe where God's presence dwelt.
Yes.
Right? God didn't say, I dwell there, but he said, my presence will dwell there.
Yes, the Holy of Holies.
And if that's true, and Jews are walking on that land, which they are, it is also reclaiming all the other promises, which are, hey, there's people living in my land that is not Israel, and I will send you up there, and unfortunately, it's through war. And yet, we can very easily read the Olivet Discourse in Matthew or Luke or any of the other Gospels, and read right past, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. We tend to, as humans, think, oh, that's somebody else.
Right.
That's a long way away. I want to get to the meat of the matter, if you will.
It wasn't a passing thought from Jesus. He knew what he was saying.
He sat down and specifically addressed their question at that time on Olivet. What will be the sign of your coming?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
And Jesus did not dismiss them like he did many times in many other questions. He sat down and he explained to them, in detail, you will hear of wars. And you can say, Jeff, you will watch warfare every night, if you'd like, on CNN, if you like, images from Israel going to war.
Stay tuned for a special Hebrew blessing at the end of every episode, including this one. This has been a great discussion. I look forward to how it continues to unfold. As you can tell, Neil and I enjoy talking about the subject as it helps us to get to the root of the matter about God and why Israel and the Middle East are so important. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and we would love to hear from you. Visit us at our home at podbean.com. Israel, why is the Middle East important? That's podbean.com. Israel, why is the Middle East important? And you can find us any place great podcasts can be found. And you can find us on Facebook using the same title. And you can email us at whyisthemiddleeastimportant@gmail.com. That's whyisthemiddleeastimportant@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if you like what you hear, please invite your friends to the conversation. You know, one thing Neil and I always say to each other is, I don't know. Because it is by having an opinion, yet holding it with an open hand, that we continue to grow. Shalom. See you next time. Wait for the blessing.
Shalom.